With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Minutes on the timer, and the subject is driving.
Yeah, when you said driving earlier, I was just like, what? How are we going to talk about driving? What's so interesting about driving? But something's come to light since then.
Well, it was suggested by our friend, our mutual friend, Ahmed, who I think knows about your driving habits through the podcast you do, The Fighting Cock, where you have occasionally spoken about your road rage.
I don't have road rage, right? I'm a really good driver.
Everyone thinks they're a good driver.
Yeah, but I've only had 3 accidents in the last 2 years. So one of them involved a woman on a bike, which was regrettable, but she was fine. You know, I didn't run over her legs or anything. And the other one, I think I left my handbrake off. And I went shopping and the car rolled down and went under a Land Rover.
Jesus.
And then the other one is I reversed into a wall that I hadn't seen. I couldn't see. It was very low. It was dark. Couldn't see it. So I reversed into a wall. None of these things are my fault. Just very, very unlucky. But I think what Ahmed was getting at was something I mentioned that I didn't say I do this. I said you can tell if someone's racist if you're in a car with them and they're cut up by someone who's of a different ethnicity. Because what happens in that moment of being in a blind fury where you're concentrating on the road and you just need to get some of the poison out of your mouth, you just concentrate on what they look like. And that could be the size of them, their gender, what skin colour they have, whether they wear glasses or not, whether they have a full head of hair, right? All those things might go through some people's minds. In my experience, when I've seen this happen and been in the car, if I'm being cut up by someone, I don't say anything. I internalise it all because that's what good drivers do.
No, mate. I think what we're agreeing here is that when you're behind the wheel, everything that goes wrong is someone else's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you just said. You left the handbrake off, but it wasn't your fault.
Do you know
you
what?
You ran over a cyclist.
No, I didn't run over a cyclist. She was suddenly just there and I hit her. It wasn't like, oh, there's a cyclist. Let me steer towards her and knock her off. I'm not a psychopath. She was there suddenly, and I don't know how. And actually, as a consequence of that, obviously it's a police matter, I got a letter about 4 months later from the police saying I have no case to answer. And this is after I paid for a bicycle. I paid for the repair of my own car because I, in to avoid trying to, you know, not run over her legs and actually maim the girl, I drove into a very steep curb, which broke my wheel on my car, which cost me about 1,500 quid to replace. I replaced her bloody bike, fixed that. And the reason why you can hear a sense of frustration in my voice here, Wendy, is that it's that you know, the police looked at the CCTV and it wasn't my fault. I know.
Okay, so there's one out of three that definitely wasn't
the handbrake. The bloke, obviously, I hadn't pulled it up high enough, which is a rare thing for me to do because I always do it. I'm pretty sure. And the car in front of me, I must have been very close to it, and it just rested very gently in the car in front. And that car drove off, and then the car must have rode, just, you know, gone down the hill. So if that car hadn't driven off in front of me, parked in front of me, then nothing bad would have happened. That cost about £900 to fix the issue with the Land Rover.
So this is the thing about driving, right? It's driving's great. It gives you options. It gives you independence. It gives you freedom. But it also brings with it so much admin. Oh, my God. The admin associated with driving is ridiculous. In terms of, am I taxed? Have I got my MOT? Does my car need a service? Have I got to put oil in it? Am I paying the same amount for my car insurance this year? Is it on auto renewal? Do I have to phone up and sort it out for the next year? Do I need to do a price comparison for my car insurance? It is so much faff. Why in 2020, why is driving not more straightforward and less admin heavy?
I feel like if you don't have accidents like me, if you have accidents like me, it's much more stressful. I've just literally had to have a full service because I've had the car for 20,000 miles and I needed to, my tax. Do you know what? I've never, ever once paid my road tax on time. Never. It always runs out and I think, oh shit, I've done it again. And the only way to renew, you have to go with your logbook to post office and...
Oh my God, that sounds even worse.
I'm doing the extra admin through my own inadequacies that you haven't even thought about. In terms of driving,
surely doing that once would be enough to stop it happening again. You just put a reminder in your calendar.
You think you would three think, times now mate. on the bounce that's happened.
Have you ever had a serious car crash?
No, not one where like people have been really badly hurt or the car's been suddenly undrivable or you know airbags have come out. Nothing like that. No, you?
I've had one which sounded like it was going to be really serious. You know when you're in a car crash and you hear the metal crumple and it, from the inside of the car, it's kind of, it sounds so much worse. So I had one, I was driving early on a Sunday morning down country lanes and both me and the person coming towards me were both going a little bit too fast, not outrageously fast, but a little bit too fast. And the lane narrowed to the point where you could only really get one car down it. One and a half cars down it, and we both had to, like, at short notice, put our brakes on and go to the extreme end of the side of a lane. And obviously, our cars met in the middle, and it was not pretty. The noise was horrific. It was a massive shock, obviously, as well. And then you got the problem with cars like starting to come up behind you and wanting to come through, but your cars are both bent in and dented and
broken. Was it written off? Was it a bad crunch?
Yeah, that one was written off. It was quite bad. The lady who I hit and hit me, she was quite shaken up and reacted quite angrily at first. But then I think she realised quite quickly that she was just as much at fault. And essentially it was fixed by a 50-50 claim and, you know, it all got sorted out through insurance or whatever. But again, admin, a lot of admin. The other time, my white Vauxhall Nova...
Nice.
Was written off without me being in the car. How unfortunate is that?
Unfortunate. What did you do?
I was parked outside my house and I think my dad had just got back from walking the dogs and he came rushing into the house and said, Chris, you need to come out, there's been a crash. And luckily my neighbour had been outside, right? Because the bloke that hit it tried to drive off and my neighbour was like, got in his way basically and stopped him driving off. No, it was first thing in the morning. He was on his way to work. I suppose he could have been drunk, but he just drove into the petrol tank of my car. I mean, it could have exploded.
The thing is, if you're you're drunk, then that's a reason to drive away. I'm not saying you should do that. Obviously, ethically, it's probably one of the worst things you can do because you don't know what's happened. But if you've just done it and you've just had an accident, it's like, and no one's injured. It's unfortunate, but it's not the end of the world, isn't it? Things get repaired. You might pay an extra £100 in a year in insurance. It's not worth driving away from the accident. Like, right? Nothing good can come from that.
That escalates things very quickly.
It becomes a criminal act. You can go to prison for doing something like that. So it's a strange one. The old.
Do you enjoy driving?
Really, I find it completely tedious and boring. I prefer it to not driving. Like, I prefer driving than sitting in the passenger seat. But now I hate it. I don't hate it actually. Do you know where I think this has come from, Wendy? Is that listening to my dad for 30 years of his job just saying how much he hates driving. Oh, I fucking hate it, girl. Girl, I fucking sitting in that fucking van all fucking day. I fucking does my fucking brain in. And he would get really angry. I remember him driving and having like fits of road rage when I was little. So I never really enjoyed being in the car. And I think perhaps that's where this foundation has come from. But there's nothing more boring than sitting on a motorway for 2 hours watching the miles go down on your sat nav. It's very, very slowly. What about you? Do you enjoy it?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I wouldn't say I enjoy it in terms of long journeys. I don't mind driving. I quite enjoy, driving the countryside's quite nice. If it's not for too long, it's fine. I like having music on, like having podcasts on. I find it quite relaxing. Yeah. Long motorway drives, I'd rather not do them. Like, I'd rather be able to click my fingers and just go from A to B rather than having to sit through it all. And also, it gets uncomfortable after a while, doesn't it? You need to stretch your legs.
I don't like cars, really. I'm not bothered about... Like, if I had the money, I would have an expensive car just because it's better than having a cheap one, isn't it? It looks better, different features. I'm sure it's more comfortable, but I'm really not bothered. It's nothing... I'm not like one of these people that are aspirational about owning this car. When I turned 17, the first thing... I didn't even pass my test till about... I was 25, 26. I just wasn't interested in it at all. I lived in London and didn't need a car. It just never drove me. The only reason I really bought one is because I moved out here in the sticks in the country where you can't exist without a car here. It's impossible. Like, if I just from where I live now to walk to the nearest shop, to walk to it would take me an hour easy just to walk. Jesus. I mean, in the car, it takes 10 minutes. But so you need one here. But I'm just not bothered by it. And it does get uncomfortable unless you've got a really, really, really nice car. But I would say driving around the country lanes around here is much more enjoyable than driving in London where it's stop-start constantly.
And I imagine that was your dad's frustration. Yeah. Like, he would have been driving in London, wouldn't he? Which is, London driving's not the best. It's quite infuriating. I used to drive into London to do our podcast together regularly, and it was at rush hour. So I'd be driving 20 miles, 25 miles, something like that. And I'd arrive in Victoria and I'd just be like fed up because people had just been morons. I've been stopped at every possible traffic light. There's congestion, there's cyclists pulling out on you and not stopping at traffic lights. There's taxis like pushing in. There's, it's just not good. It's not good for the blood pressure.
No, it's crap. Shit. Like driving in London is not good for your health at all. But when I'm driving home from London, like, I love it. When I get onto like the M4 or the M3 and just start going and getting away from London, I like that. I like driving home. I always think of you actually, Windy, funnily, when I'm driving past near where you live. If I'm going into London, I can see the... what's it called? Palace. The big palace there, the castle. Where fuck it.
Windsor Castle.
I couldn't find the words there for some reason. I always see it, and you don't live like a massive difference from there. So that pops into my head every time I drive. Oh, Windy's around here somewhere. It's not the best. The worst one I've ever had. The worst one in terms of a breakdown. I drove for part of my job. I drove from London to Russia. This could be a podcast on its own, mate. There's so much went on in this. Drove to London to Russia to watch England play Belgium in the final group game of the World Cup a couple of years back. And it was for a job, so I didn't really have a choice. And going out there was fine. It's a long way. It's quite frightening looking at the map and thinking we're going to drive across pretty much the whole of Europe to get to Russia. Anyway, on the way back, things weren't anywhere near as smooth. And the van, which was brand new when we got it, just no cars are designed to be driven that much unrelentingly over a period of a week. Like, we were driving in for most of it 14-hour days, swapping overs. Jesus. But it's all we could do to get there for the game and get back in time. So we were driving along this in Germany somewhere. We went onto this bridge that was only two lanes each way. So two lanes come in and two lanes go in. And the tyre just popped on the front right wheel, which meant we got stuck on this bridge and we couldn't move the thing. We couldn't move the van. And the tailback went from nothing, obviously, to 3 or 4 miles in the space of 15 minutes. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
The police had to come and drag the van off the bed. Everyone's bibbing at us. We've got English number plate, haven't we, obviously. So the German drivers are going to be furious at us for that. It was orange. The van was bright orange with Fanorama on the side because it's the sponsor of that van company. It was just a really bad time. I ended up being stuck in, it was a Friday when that happened. I was stuck in this weird little quaint town in Germany for 4 days waiting for this new tire to come in. The boys I was with, I sent them on their way because they're kids and parents and wives to see and had to go back to work and stuff. But I didn't have any of that because I was living in London and my missus was out here. So I just sat there in this sleepy little German town because the tire had exploded and that was another incident. Like, I'm genuinely convinced that I'm the most unluckiest driver on earth. Like, it doesn't happen to normal people. Kind people, nice people. Shouldn't happen.
That sounds like absolute hell, mate, honestly. I have had problems with like punctures or tires, like where I've had to pull over, but the worst nightmare is it happening on a motorway and not being able to get off the motorway. That's the thing that makes me really like fearful. When I see someone who's had that situation, I think, God, I'd love to be able to help them in some way. I just feel so sorry for them that it's happened.
You know, no one believes me.
Oh, mate.
I'm going to quickly say it. I once saw a woman fighting a swan on the side of the M4. There you go.